focus my presentation really on retention related to assessment completion. So Ruth mentioned that there, you know, we have these groups and there are weekly group attendance retention issues, but I'm going to be focusing on our assessment rates throughout the course of the evaluation of Legacy for Children. Okay, so as Ruth mentioned, Legacy for Children is a multi-site randomized controlled trial of a parenting intervention. We have two sites with annual assessments and supplemental contact really cover prenatally through age 5. You know, we have lots of issues related to non-response, and non-response at recruitment and attrition really affects the integrity of our evaluation efforts. And in particular, retention and attrition for parenting intervention research among high risk and definitely low income multiracial mothers, like the sample that we have, they have unique threats to retaining these women into long-term evaluations. And some of these include custodial issues. We have more custodial issues than the general population. Persistent illness of the child or mother. Children get sick constantly, and so bringing them back either into group attendance or into the assessments is very, very difficult. And there's also high mobility. Something that perhaps the sites will also mention in their presentation is you run into unique threats where if you have women coming together on a weekly basis, you have the benefits of social interaction, but you also have some threats to retaining these mothers. If they get into some conflict among themselves, they may completely walk away from Legacy and divorce the program entirely. And these are issues that you don't come in contact with in other general health and public health interventions. So in evaluating our ability to retain these mothers, for assessment purposes, we wanted to look at what other large-scale early intervention programs have been able to accomplish in terms of retention. And so we turned to some of these more common large-scale early intervention programs. And the first thing we noted was it's very difficult to get consistent reporting of retention, first of all. They all define it a little bit differently. The denominators change quite consistently. And also, because the evaluations are conceived very differently across the different programs, they're at different ages, of course. The evaluations are conducted at different ages. But just to give you a smattering of the data that we found, in Abecedarian, 81% of the families were retained to age 8 for the age 8 assessment. And then we see an increase in their retention efforts where there was a 94% completion of the age 22 assessment. Project CARE, there was a 91% retention at 54 months, which is a little more comparable to our assessment age. Brookline Early Education Program retained 71% of their families to age 25. And IHDP, which is more similar to the goals of Legacy, were able to retain 100% of their families at age 5 assessment and 89% at age 8. And among the high-scope peri-preschool population, they retain 95% of their families to age 27. So the purpose for the present analysis was to identify site-specific factors that are associated with, first, consent to Legacy among those screened, then maternal baseline assessment completion among those mothers who consented who were eligible, and then finally, two-year maternal child assessment completion among those who were assessed at baseline. Turning first towards recruitment, there were 525 Miami mothers screened. 471 of those were deemed eligible based on our eligibility criteria, which is approximately 84% of those screened. And then 64% of the eligible mothers finally consented, resulting in our final Miami population of 300 mother-infant dyads. Then in UCLA, similarly, approximately 514 mothers were screened, 418 were eligible, and 75% of those who were eligible consented for the final sample size of 315 mothers. And then those two, the 300 consenting mothers in Miami and 315 in LA, were randomized to either intervention or comparison. So for assessment completion, here are our rates. For baseline, the rates ranged from 87 to almost 97%. These four lines represent site by intervention or comparison. And what you'll see is if you compare the rates for UCLA intervention to UCLA comparison, you'll see that we assessed more comparison than intervention at baseline. However, that difference disappeared and was no longer statistically significant over time. And by age two, you see that there's absolutely no difference, no meaningful differences and no statistical differences by the two-year assessment. And you'll see a steady drop-off. You will note that I definitely truncated that y-axis so that you could see these numbers. But we end up with a two-year assessment completion rate of between 78 and 85%, depending on the intervention group and site. So our methods for this analysis include the following. We did just very basic bivariate logistic regression models, looking for factors that were associated with first consent among the screened mothers, then baseline assessment among those who consented, and then two-year assessment completion among those who completed the baseline assessment. We then took all the demographic factors that were associated at the p less than or equal to 0.2 level and entered them into full multivariate logistic models and then pruned them back in a backward stepwise regression fashion. The factors that we considered included the following maternal demographic factors, including racial and ethnic identity, English spoken in the home as the primary language spoken, and I'll heretofore refer to that as English spoken in the home, it's a little lengthy, maternal age, household income, maternal education attainment, employment status, whether or not the mother was in school, and marital status. We also looked at other maternal measures, including physical and mental health using the SF-12, a depression indicator using the Composite International Diagnostic Interview, and three indicators of social support from the Duke Functional Social Support Survey. And that included a measure of affective social support, confidant social support, and instrumental social support. We also had one measure of knowledge of child development, which we included. Okay, so for the results, the factors that predicted consent among the eligible mothers, we found that in Miami, those in English-speaking homes, so primarily English-speaking homes, were more than twice as likely to consent. And in LA, we noted a trend for the same factor. Taking a while to process. There we go. Factors predicting baseline completion among the consenting mothers, we noted that unmarried mothers were four times more likely to complete baseline in Miami. In UCLA, or at UCLA, mothers from English-speaking homes, again, were more likely to complete the baseline by a factor of two. And then finally, for the two-year completion rates, we found that indices of social support predicted two-year completion in Miami, specifically if the mother had greater affective social support and lower confidant social support, they were more likely to complete the two-year assessment. Similarly, in LA, we noticed that these same indicators, in terms of the affective social support, greater affective social support, but lower now instrumental social support, were associated with an increased likelihood of completing the two-year assessment. We also noticed a trend for the depression indicator on the Composite International Diagnostic Interview, and we look at that more carefully here, where we see that mothers who were depressed at baseline, 88% of those mothers completed the two-year, compared to only 79% of those who are not depressed at baseline. And the p-value on that one was about 0.08, so we'll keep an eye on this trend. In summary, the factors associated with consent in Miami included English being spoken as the primary language in the home, baseline completion, the primary factor we noted there was if the mother was unmarried, she was more likely to complete baseline. And for the two-year completion, greater affective and lower confidant social support was associated with two-year completion. For LA, again, the English trend at consent, and also that factor was significant in predicting baseline completion. And then again, greater affective social support at 2 years and lower instrumental social support was associated with two-year completion in LA with a trend on depression. Notably, measures of socioeconomic status, including employment, household income, education, were not associated with completion for any of these endpoints. Neither was racial and ethnic identity or physical health. And just to highlight this, if you take out that outlier, that's a very, very small sample size in LA in the less than 5,000 household income, and you look over the different categories of income, there's not much going on here in terms of differences by assessment rates for the various income. And that's somewhat surprising. We thought either those among the higher income households would be less likely to come in because of conflicts with work, or perhaps we would see, you know, the reverse, where lower income mothers were not as interested in coming in for complications with weekend work schedules, daily work schedules, any number of conflicts. There's just absolutely no association here in either direction. So a few conclusions. Generally, we found that English speakers, women who spoke English in the home as the primary language, with greater affective social support, so were more likely to receive affection in some way, were more successfully retained by legacy assessment. And we noted several unique factors with assessment retention. Mothers with fewer functional resources and less social connection were more likely to be retained by a legacy depending on the site. And just to conclude, we think that additional emphasis on understanding and addressing the barriers to participation, particularly those associated with language barriers, since that's something perhaps we can, in the future, look to programmatically change some of these assessments so that perhaps we're more likely to get these mothers to consent, to get them to come in for the baseline assessment at minimum. That may be something that we can work towards in the future. And that also may thereby improve the effectiveness and generalizability of the legacy intervention. And in terms of next steps, we hope to use this now to weight our data so that we can account for the disproportionate number of mothers that are in these non-English-speaking, English-speaking groups to weight our data to more appropriately capture any particular legacy effects that we note as we go through and evaluate the outcome data. Thank you, and more information about legacy is available at this website, and you can contact me at my email address if you have any questions.